Hospital Association. All right. Come on up. Welcome to the conference committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Sue Stout. I represent the Minnesota Hospital Association. As we look at the issue of birthing center, we kind of look at this as two separate issues. One, the issue of the policy of birthing centers, and then the finance part. And as we've talked to our members, on the policy part of birthing centers, there's not an objection to licensing and allowing the establishment of birthing centers. I think that from our perspective, they're a provider that should be allowed to practice in Minnesota and establish the centers. We think that as we look at that policy of encouraging medical assistance patients throughout the state to use birthing centers, one cautionary note is we wonder if we're going to be able to have enough birthing centers up quickly enough to be able to permeate the whole state. I think it's important to note that there are about 11 licensed traditional midwives in the state and about 220 certified nurse midwives. So we don't have a lot of providers that normally would be working in these centers here. More providers would have to come and be trained to be populating these birthing centers with staffing. So we think that the idea of establishing them very quickly is probably not practical. They'll establish more over time. Certainly, there may be a number of them that could be ready to go quickly, but getting one in, say, Bemidji and Mankato and Worthington, it's going to take some time. Our biggest concern about this proposal has to do with the financing end of it. Essentially, what the proposal does is it targets, and first of all, we'd like to thank the Senate for their last proposal and taking some increase then in the rate for the hospital normal deliveries, and that helps some. However, the policy of setting a lower rate for hospital deliveries and taking the spreadsheet shows about a $13 million state savings, which for us, when you add the federal match, the cost actually to hospitals is about $30 million. To focus that on labor and delivery essentially focuses the rate cut on our facilities that are regional large providers of medical assistance. So facilities like Hennepin County, Abbott, Mankato, Bemidji, Fairview, SMDC are probably the facilities that would be the hardest hit by a focused rate reduction in this area. It's important to note that when we talked with SMDC in Duluth, they told us that 68% of their births in their hospital are MA births. So that what we're saying is that this approach focuses the rate cuts in certain areas, which is problematic for those facilities when you focus on such large amounts of cuts in their area. Fairview, and I'll let Mary speak more in a moment, but they suffer about a third of the cuts come out of Fairview, so that's about a $10 million cut to Fairview in their obstetrical department. We think that there's really not a good policy reason from our perspective to link the funding of the hospital to the establishment of the birthing center. We think that the bigger amount of cost difference there is between a hospital and the birthing center, the more incentive there'll be to go to the birthing center. Hospital deliveries are more costly. That is absolutely true. They're more costly because hospitals have to have operating rooms on standby and staff to go to the operating room on standby and a high number of registered nurses on staff. We have a number of services that we provide in the hospital that just won't be provided in a birthing center. And that's okay, but that's why our costs are higher. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mary Edwards. I'm from Fairview Health Services. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on the birthing center provision. We at Fairview are not opposed to birthing centers. It's an interesting concept. However, we do have some concerns with the bill that I'd like to articulate and give you some history about my company. Fairview delivers over 11,000 babies a year. 30% are MA. At UMMC alone, 48% are MA. 20% of all deliveries that we have at Fairview have complications. We do not know when a baby comes in or a mom comes in which baby will be in a complicated state. I wish we did. I wish it were that simple. So I'm concerned in the language of the bill about the 30 minutes between a hospital and a birthing center. And I give you the example of Charlie Harris, now an 8-year-old little boy, somebody on our staff at Fairview, who that little boy had to be suctioned out of his mom. Had he been not born at a hospital, Charlie would no longer be with us. It was a complication that would not have been known until the delivery started to occur. I think if we were to work this out in a closer fashion, you could adjust for those things. Secondly, as Sue indicated, I also am concerned about the pricing of this. We at hospitals are more expensive. We have more expenses due to our overhead. We have emergency services that we have to be responsible for. We have operating rooms that are open 24/7. Those do incur more costs and more problems. We have other requirements, such as we have social workers, we have nutritional services, we have lactation nurses that all increase the costs. So it's not surprising we would be more expensive. I just go back to the point that I mostly wanted to make. I think the concept is interesting. The trouble we have is who will be in that 20%, and how can we work on that particular opportunity in the future. So thank you. I'd be very happy to answer any questions at this time.
Are there any questions of the witnesses? Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, and for either of you, so you know that we have to cut, and we know you don't want to be cut. So if this isn't a very good way to make a reduction, what would you suggest instead?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I'm really glad you asked that question because I think there is another idea that Fairview has been putting in place for about a year and a half. And I'd love to vet it with you further, and I think there's some savings that could be achieved. And I apologize that it's whatever day it is, May something, and we're telling you this today, and we told you a little bit about this yesterday, but we have at Fairview that we've implemented a 39-month, or 30, that'd be ridiculous. If we were an elephant, that'd be true, 39-week policy for any C-sections. I know that we've achieved cost savings out of having each elective C-section done at 39 weeks. We've found savings in our NICU, and we found savings for the mom stay at the hospital. I believe at this point we found it to be $147 per delivery. I think there's some significant savings we could see if we did something creative with that at the state. We've been sharing this with Dr. Schiff, and we'd love to noodle on that further. I think that's an opportunity that we would like to flesh out for you further.
Mr. Chairman.
Or Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Ms. Edwards, I challenge you in the next 24 hours to get me this idea with a fiscal note.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, we will keep on that challenge, and thank you for the opportunity to do that.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, and I think maybe Well, to either of the witnesses, I have a couple of questions. So we proceed with this idea, and I'll tell you, I know Representative Rood was here, but she had to go over to the Finance or the Ways and Means Committee. And she carried this bill in the House, and we had quite a long hearing. A number of the people that testified earlier today, one of the women that lives in the district I represent is here. She was there that night. We had, I think, a really great hearing on this piece of legislation. So first of all, I'm just wondering if you can describe a little bit about what was different about the House bill versus the Senate bill. Because if you could share that with us, that would be helpful.
Ms. Stout.
Certainly, Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy. The House bill achieved the goal of licensing birthing centers, and much of the detail of how that licensing occurs was identical or very close to identical to the Senate version of the bill. In meeting with the nurse midwives and some others, there were a couple of suggested changes that came through in the House version of the bill, and one had to do with how the details of the licensing might be worked out by the health department in rules. And I believe one thing that was a difference was that the House bill directed the Commissioner of Health to consider to write rules on the licensing of the birthing centers, and listed about four different national clinical standards to use as a guide. One of them was, I believe, ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. The other was some standards that are set by the National Nurse Midwifery Group, and then the National the Public Health Association, and I believe those are the standards that's in the Senate bill. As we looked at those on the website, the Senate bill seemed to be very close to the American Public Health Association standards. And then I believe there was one other midwifery group or National Birthing Center Association standards. So essentially what it did was it directed the commissioner to look at all four of those national standards and then to try to come up with a licensing scheme that worked. The other, which I think is a significant difference, is the House bill did not have the rate part in it. It did not suggest the rate be set in statute. I believe it would leave the rate setting up to the standard method that's used now through the managed care system.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I think probably for Ms. Edwards, if you could talk with us a little bit, if we pass this and we go forward, how would a hospital then move forward in terms of their staffing, given, you know, that the concern that you've expressed about the 20% that, you know, we don't know if they would be high risk or not. So you'd still have to be prepared. I mean, how would you move forward as a hospital in terms of implementing this policy?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, that's a very good question. I think we'd have to figure out how we would work with a birthing center and how to make this work. As I said in the testimony, I'm very uncomfortable with the 30 minutes. I wish there was a way we could do that differently, because time does matter, as you know, as a nurse. And you just don't know which one of your people that are going to come in as who is a pregnant lady, which will be a part of that 20%. Obviously, we'd work very closely with them. That would be something that you'd have to do. So we'd have to see how it played out and where they would be located.
Mr. Chair, I just want to let the conference know that, you know, we had been working on this issue, and I think a number of us have been intrigued by this issue. In the House, I'm one of them. But we had an amendment on the floor that was resoundingly defeated, and it was the Senate position. So I think as we move forward with this, we're going to have to think through, you know, what were the differences between the House and the Senate, and what that vote meant in terms of how we progress this issue.
Senator Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, you know that the Senate had a much higher target than the House had to meet, and I believe before we're done, we will have a much higher target to meet. And so, there are choices that need to be made.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
We have been, I think, in our respective chambers struggling with those difficult choices all session.
And I'd also note that we don't have to have a bigger target if other things happen. So, all right. Thank you. I don't think see there's any for anybody else that wants to testify about the birthing center proposal. Okay, I think we're going to go on to a discussion of child care. Okay, I guess what the first thing we want to talk about is just a little bit more. Oh, Ms. Waters wanted to testify if she's here.
Welter, W-E-L-T.
Okay, welcome to the committee. I'm sorry. Welcome.
Thank you. I welcome the opportunity actually to answer questions. I am a certified nurse midwife that supports out-of-hospital birth. I would just like to respond to a couple of things that were said earlier by the Minnesota Hospital Association spokesperson Sue, talked about the high cost of birth in hospitals, and hospitals are great when we need them for high-risk births, but most births are uncomplicated, and for low-risk women, we don't need those facilities. And then the representative from Fairview expressed her discomfort with the 30-minute rule around transporting families from a birth center to a hospital. And certainly in rare circumstances, time could impact the outcome of a birth center birth. But again, most births are low risk. Most birthing families birth very well without the technology that we prepare for in hospitals. So I have practiced in hospital probably for 20 years and the last couple years out of hospital. So I just want to come here today to say that I really do support out-of-hospital birth for all families. And right now it's really not a choice or an option for women on medical assistance. So I'm just here to express that view. If there are questions, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Where's Jen?
Representative Huntley. Chair Huntley.
Senator. Yeah, Senator Sharon.
I would just like to make a comment, if I may, about I think that in this discussion, when we're talking about the value that we will be able to get if this provision is pursued, we do need to acknowledge, I think I'd like to distinguish that with a hospital that is operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, when we're talking about the resources that they need to have, it may be often that we need to have it there, but it's not utilized, but it's still costing money. It's like a fire department or a police department that hopefully they're not called upon. So I think that's the issue that the hospital is raising, that as we begin to create through healthcare reform these initiatives, we have to, in that discussion, consider then that other implication for the hospitals.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just also like to say one thing about having the rate established in law. If we hadn't put something in our bill establishing a rate, we would not have a fiscal note yet. I have no objection to the health plan setting negotiating rates in the future. In fact, we built inflation into our proposal for the second biennium. But we had to tell somebody someplace, somehow, somewhere where to start, because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to get a fiscal note.
Mr. Chair. Representative Abler.
Hi. To that point, just to mention, I was working on a similar parallel track of this thing. And if, as this goes forward, if the hospital rate is an issue, that you can also blend the provider rate. And then that, since they kind of decide which way it goes, if they refer to a birthing center or a hospital where they want to work, if they decide to move into a C-section, there's a bit more control on that end of it than there is on the part of the hospital. So that's just an option that I have language, which is sitting comfortably in the Health Finance Committee in the House, but could be dragged out. Just, and there was some savings to that, too, not as much as the hospital, but if the impact in the hospitals is concerning, that's another alternative.
Okay, Dr. Schiff.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to come back to make a make a specific point, and that's that in this, I think we have two issues. We have the whether the birthing centers are a good idea, and I don't think there's been a lot of debate about that. I think what we have to be careful of is that we create the right incentives for the right patients to go to the right facilities. And I think as a pediatrician and someone who's worked in an emergency room, I know that we want to make sure that we have infants delivered where it's safe. And I think that the choice is not actually always for the patients after they're delivered. It's sort of the importance of making sure patients, the mothers are triaged appropriately beforehand. And I think that in creating a rate for deliveries, I think it's important that the rate allow for the appropriate patients to go to birthing centers and appropriate patients to be triaged into the hospital, and there's not any disincentive in that rate for patient safety.
Any questions? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Dr. Schiff and members of the conference committee, complicated vaginal births are still at the same rate in the Senate bill.
Okay, any other questions, testimony? If not, we'll go on to child care. And, you know, this is an interesting issue for us because I think we all want to end up in the same place. And but there's differences between the House and Senate bill, and we need to understand those differences. And the House increases spending on the item. Senate uses federal money to do that. And then state money resulting in some savings. Representative Slawik is here to explain what the House did.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. In the House, just to say, we have child care in the Early Childhood Committee, which we put our MDE programs and our DHS programs into that for about $455 million. Take it all the way to the floor, and then we split up when we get to this process. So appreciate having just a couple of minutes, because I know it takes you all a long time to resolve this bill. The good part and the good news for us in child care was there was $26 million of ARRA money, as you know, the stimulus money. I think we're in good agreement on that, with about $1.3 million for the Getting Ready for Quality Ratings, $1.4 million for the Parent Aware Pilot, and $750,000 for family, friend, and neighbor. And we've also worked with the department on this, so I think all three of us are in agreement, so that part is hopefully a lock in that we can do that. We also work with the Senate on an early childhood caucus. Terrell Clark, Senator Clark, is involved in that, as well as Senator Michelle. In our House, we have Sandy Peterson, Randy Demmer. And really, our highest priority as a caucus is for the quality rating system and for the language and to get that off the ground this year. You all probably heard about the quality rating system, but it's where we start ranking child cares as a pilot right now, parent aware, from 1 to 4 stars. If I said it was going to take you to a 4-star restaurant, you know what I meant. If I said it was going to take you to a 1-star restaurant, you know what I meant. And child care, it's starting to give consumers and parents those kinds of choices. So that was our highest priority. Some of the other things in terms of child care, we know there's the basic sliding fee underspending, which is most likely going to be refinanced. There also is the other $22 million of the stimulus monies, which I think are up for refinancing as well. We would prefer, in terms of the stimulus money, to spend the money on childcare initiatives, the waiting list, to see if we could get parents off that waiting list, get their kids some childcare. As we know, kids are only little and needing that full-time childcare for the first 5 years of their life, so if we could do that. And there's one program, Mr. Chair, and to the senators, I haven't been in this committee, so I'm on the Education Conference Committee, is that we really think out of all of that and knowing, I mean, we understand the need for refinancing and the shortage of funds, but there is a pilot called School Readiness Connections that the Department of Human Services has been running, and it's been very successful, and we would like to see that continue to be funded. It's a $1.3 million proposal. It would continue with the current 14 providers and align them with Parent Aware. The governor actually uses basic sliding fee underspending to continue it, and if we could continue it, I think it would be important to keep that going. Other items in our proposal, let's see here. We, I think you all accepted the retroactive eligibility, so we were happy about that because I think that that's similar. And we have some child care services grants, and we have a provider rate differential in terms of if someone gets a 3 or 4 star that they would get an increase in funding. So overall, Mr. Chair, I think we're somewhat on the same page. Basically, we'd like no cut. If possible, in child care, and we know you're doing some refinancing. We understand the need for that. If we could include school readiness connections and continue to spend the $3.4 million of quality set aside the way we agreed, that would be great.
Any questions for Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment. Representative, we have concerns that some of the spending that you've done is really on things that should be permanent, not one time. And the stimulus money is one time money. That doesn't mean we're not looking at other proposals that you have, but we're very reluctant to fund things like buying out the waiting list with one time money because you can't then take somebody off program because you don't have the money for them any longer.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Slawik, or Representative Slawik.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We really thought about that. It's difficult, but you know, with the stimulus funds, it's all one-time money, and it's really put us all in kind of a difficult position because the idea was, and you know, with Obama and the federal government, they want to stimulate spending, but then what can you do that really works with that? And our theory is, you know, these are small children, these are parents that need to be working. This is a work support, a job support. And if we can get parents of 3 and 4 year olds out there having some child care, even for that 3-year-old and 4-year-old year, that we think that's a big deal. Or if it's even 1 and 2 year olds, but that you have the ability to continue to support parents. As we know, some of them are forced to make these choices between having quality child care and working. If they can't find good quality childcare, or where are they leaving their kids? So being able to put that in and help families stay working, we think is important from the House viewpoint.
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just, one thing on this, the basic sliding fee underspending. I mean, we had the hearing here, the joint hearing, I don't know, a couple months ago in the House chamber where the speaker, several speakers made the point that there are the way we take care of kids, we're far behind states that we should be far ahead of, and it just strikes me that that we should keep that child care underspending in the child care system and try to improve it as Representative Slawik has suggested, and not just use it to refinance for the budget deficit. And I think it's actually, I'm glad that you brought that idea forward about how we can use that basic sliding fee underspending to keep it within child care, just wanted to make that point.
Other questions? Thank you, Representative Slawik.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, and I know you'll come out with some good decisions.
We're going to present you with our second offer, and then we'll go back to the debate. Mr. Walls, why don't you start?
Maybe we could get a copy before you start.
No, I have.
Mr. Chair and members, as you can see, the one-page itemization of changes to the last house offer is being passed out. Most of these changes come from a fiscal note we received from the department about a change in MINDO limits, which provided some additional savings to the house, and that was used to do a few things. The first was to reduce the cuts to DHS central office. Those cuts we had in our last proposal gone to the original Senate number. We'd be reducing those by a net amount of $1.4 million per biennium. The Senate had included funding for a provision that was included in the House, but the House was not carrying the cost, and it was allowing the, I believe, the wider band to carry some child welfare money forward into the next biennium that had a cost of about $800,000. We've added in funding for that proposal to match the Senate. We have reduced our health care payment provider payment delay to match the Senate's numbers that they are currently carrying. Then you see the $4.6 million that was fiscal noted in the MINDO proposal. Most of those savings are in the tails. We also eliminated cuts to grants in the Department of Health to match the Senate. The Senate was not making those cuts to grants. And we reduced the SGSR transfer from the health-related boards from $10.9 million to $6 million. And that was a reduction in cut of $4.9 million.
So, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, we're just having a little difficulty understanding how you paid for this. Our understanding was you were carrying a $6 million cut in your previous spreadsheet for MINDO, and the fiscal note came in at 4.6, so that would be that would be an increase in spending on your spreadsheet, not a decrease.
Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, the fiscal note that returned from the Department of Human Services on the House MINDO proposal, which I believe we have language for, created a substantial savings in the tails. So that is where most of those savings occurred to make these changes. It was just a using TANF refinancing, bringing a little bit forward or moving a little bit back to make it balance out within the given target.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess we'll need to see your new spreadsheet to understand this better, but not trying to be too critical here or anything. I know we're all struggling to get there, but when we see a spreadsheet coming forward that primarily looks to me like all it's got is increased spending in it, it does make me wonder if we're moving in the right direction.
Okay. Any other questions on that? Let's get on then to the...
We haven't done the autism.
Autism Task Force, there's some differences between the House and Senate, particularly in the membership. And I don't know if we have some staff people here that can give us the differences. I think we'll support the task force. It's the membership difference that is.
We understand the differences because the original bill in the Senate was more like the House bill, but we really believe if we're going to be able to support this, we need to have the language in the Senate bill.
Ms. Aves, do you want to, could you sort of give us a brief discussion?
Is it Chair Huntley? Chair Huntley?
Yeah. Three,
they're on five. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Before we get going on this next subject, I was curious to know, you seem to be working off a list of potential subjects that we'll be discussing, and I do not have that list. I was wondering if that's available. Do you have a plan there that, or is it terrible? Is it spontaneous?
Yeah, okay. Well, I can tell you, Senator Sharon, what the next one is the dental carve-out, and then one after that is things from Karen Clark's provisions or part of the bill that's different. And then we had some questions on patient-centered decision-making, and that's the end of my list.
Under what was the last one?
Patient-centered decision-making.
Okay.
And three of us have to go to finance.
I guess the reason that Senator Sharon might be asking that question is she was under the impression that we also were going to be discussing today the broker.
We can talk about that.
Well, we don't need to talk about it today if you don't want to, but we were under the impression that we were, and if we're not, we'd like to get that cleared up.
Yes, we will talk about that later today, but I'm going to have to recess because three of us have to go take a vote. So the meeting is.
Are you coming right back, or will it be a long recess?
I don't know.
I don't know what the vote is. We were just told that we should get over there. We do. I have a bill in that committee right now. Tosh has a bill, and
so it sounds like it'll be a little while.
It could be an hour. I hope.
An hour.
Autism? Was it the autism?
I want to go to your office and talk about this.